Ooh, Freakonomics.
I'll meet your Freakonomics and raise you Super Freakonomics all week long. Stephen Dubner, co-author of the Freakonomics book and blog, and the new book, Super Freakonomics, Global Cooling, Patriotic Prostitutes, and Why Suicide Bombers Should Buy Life Insurance, has been taking a look with us at the world through the Freakonomics lens. Tomorrow we're going to talk football and what it's like in Stephen Dubner's own home, Freakonomics-wise. But today we are applying the Freakonomics lens to the most benign and friendly little objects in our lives, kid car seats, right? Why do you want to take on kid car seats?
Well, let me start with the good news, okay? The good news is that life...
Everyone has them, right?
Well, everyone has them, yeah.
They're actually legal. You're supposed to have
them.
Yeah,
you have to have
them. By law.
Overall, the good news is that life expectancy increased dramatically in the last century, and a big reason is that children are much less likely to die from various causes. So that's obviously great news. The other good news is that the rate of auto fatalities over the past 60 years in the U.S. has also fallen dramatically, mostly because of seatbelts. The bad news is that traffic fatalities are still the leading cause of death for U.S. Children. Okay? So, of course, we want to do everything we can to protect them. Enter the car seat.
All right. And that's why you have little cute little ads like this explaining to people how to put their car seat in their own car.
Make sure the car seat is secured tightly.
No wiggle room.
Check the harness strap for tightness.
Good and tight. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Ouch.
Oh.
The harness clip should be at armpit level.
The fronts have armpits.
Which is a reason for us to play a really bad 80s song, Safety Dance. I mean, this is a bit of a dance here. You've got car seats. They sound like a good idea, but how does it play out in the real Freakonomics world?
All right, so here's the sad reality. If you actually look at real-world crash test data, then other data that we can talk about later if we have time, for children two and over. Now, for children two and under, there's no a car seat is a good option. It's the best option, okay?
Great.
What you don't want to do is have a mom hold a baby in the front seat. That's the worst place.
That's
the front seat is the worst place.
Partially because of the airbags, right?
Well, no, because there's a lot more room to hold around.
Keep going.
Now, once you put people in the back seat, whether they're grown-ups or kids, grown-ups should ride in the back seat too if you're concerned just with safety. For children two and over, if you look at real-world crash test data, it turns out that car seats do not provide any significant advantage for fatalities or serious injuries over just having a kid in an adult lap and shoulder belt, even though that belt is obviously not designed to fit them.
So great for the kid car seat manufacturers, but do the car seats themselves pose a hazard in some way?
No, there's nothing wrong with the car seat, except maybe you could say that, well, if the goal is to really protect children and we have the safety device that's been around for 40 years and it doesn't show that it actually protects children better than the old safety device, which is an ill-fitting seatbelt, and which NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, tells us 80% of all car seats are improperly installed. So you take a 40-year-old safety device, 80% of the people who have strong incentive, by the way, to do it properly, i.e. parents who want to protect their kids, can't do it properly. It tells us that this safety device is not all it's cracked up to be. So if we really want to protect kids, we should think about doing something like optimizing the cheap and simple solution, the seatbelt, that already works, whether it means resizing them in the backseat, because most backseat passengers are children. Why do we have seatbelts that don't fit them? Why do we not have integrated car seats, fold-down back seats that do fit
them? Celeste said she figured out your whole Freakonomics scam this morning by saying it's simple is always better.
Right. I mean, it seems to me that the Freakonomics prejudice is for things that are simple and cheap.
Yeah.
And I wanted to recite back to you an interesting statistic that you have in your book. You said, basically, we have one death for every 75 million miles driven. Or put another way, if you drove 24 hours a day at 30 miles per hour, you could expect to die in a car accident only after driving for 285 straight years. That's how safe cars really kind of are at this point. There's a lot of traffic deaths because there's a lot of people on the road.
Absolutely right. If you look at here's a really interesting number if you want to amaze your friends. 50 or 60 years ago, before the seatbelt was available at all in cars, Robert S. McNamara, by the way, the much maligned Secretary of Defense during the Vietnam War, when he was at Ford before that, he was the guy who pushed for car seats. He thought safety in cars was a good idea.
Seatbelts,
excuse me. Ford did not like the idea. The company did not like the idea. They said, we're going to remind people that driving is very dangerous, right? But here's what's amazing. The number of deaths and auto fatalities then, the late 50s, was about the same as we have now. Now, if you look at the number of people who drive now and the miles we drive now, the rate of death per million miles, which is how it's measured, has plummeted. So you're right. a lot of people die in safety in traffic accidents. Considering how many more miles are driven now, it's become astonishingly much, much safer.
I just like the seatbelt because it works, but it's also cheap. And
absolutely. What's not to like about cheap and simple solutions that work?
It's still the law to use the kid car seats. I mean, so what's the takeaway here?
Do we throw away the car seats? You can't throw away your car seat because you would be arrested. What you do want to do is this. If you really care about child safety, you don't accept the status quo that car seats, this big bulky thing that you add on with the seatbelt, is the right way to go. What you do is you push, as we've tried to do, using data to say, hey, let's protect our kids smarter, cheaper, better. Let's talk about adjustable rear seat seatbelts. Let's talk about a 5-point harness. Let's talk about integrated fold-down car seats instead of this bulky contraption made by a third party that we try to fit into the car.
Do you think the safety dance in America is terrifyingly disconnected from statistical reality in the Freakonomics world?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I mean, we write a little bit about shark attacks, how people get scared out of their gourd every couple years by the number of shark attacks, whereas in truth, the number of people who die worldwide from shark attacks is about 5 on average. You know, more people probably get run over every year by TV news vans who are going to cover the shark attacks.
That's still a serious problem, though. Those 5 people, you don't care about them at all.
Yeah, sure, I care about them, and probably they wouldn't have died in some other way if they were. But you know, for us to obsess on anomalies, which is what we in the media like to do, right? That's what news is. News is something new. New is often an anomaly. The problem is our primordial lizard brains, which we all have. We try to train them up a little bit, but the truth is that we all fixate on those anomalies and treat them as they're the norm. And they're not.
All right. I got to ask your wife tomorrow if you're like throwing the car seats into some big bonfire. And
thank
she's like
God
going
my
along
kids
with
have
this.
Aged out now. Yeah, we are no longer legally bound.
No difficult questions for Stephen Dugner. Stephen Dugner, co-author of Super Freakonomics, Global Cooling, Patriotic Prostitutes, and Why Suicide Bombers Should Buy Life Insurance. Thanks.
Thank you.
Another thing that Freakonomics author Stephen Dubner says is that what people do is a better measure than what they say that they do. And we're wondering if you think that's true. Did you say you were on a diet and then ate Ruffles potato chips? Do you plan for a run and then find yourself sitting on the couch? Is it walking the walk or talking the talk that matters? And there's a difference for you between what you say and what you end up doing. Let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.